The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. Welcome to Eat 'Em Up, and I'm excited for this one. We got Holzy. Yes, Corbinian Holzer is here joining us, and Holzy, so good to have you on Heat 'Em Up. What's going on? Where are you at? And what team you plan to, like, fill the fans in? Where are you at? Any updates on Holzy?
First of all, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. I'm playing in Austria in the beautiful city of Graz. It's like probably an hour and a half, 2 hour car ride from Vienna. And I just got here, started the season. It's my first year here. Before that, I was 3 years in Germany playing in Mannheim. And I just wanted something to all see. Like for me as a German, Austria is obviously not really like a different country, especially being from Bavaria. But like it was just something I was looking at, like a different league again, different culture. Just see something else, want to go outside of the league or like of the German league again. And found this place. They were kind of rebuilding a little bit, trying to build something as a like a championship team, new owner, new GM, new coach, 18 new guys. So it was something I was looking forward to and something I was actually like searching. And it's been a good ride so far, and it's been a fun time.
And they speak German there?
Yeah.
Nice. Seems like it's all working out. And for all who are tuning in right now, I mean, Holzy, it just, what a teammate, what a guy. And I really enjoyed our time in Anaheim. So good to have you on the show. And we have some fan questions. We have three questions. And first one, Holzy, I hear you're a big soccer fan. Yes. And I'm gonna add something onto this. Holzy, I saw you in a soccer jersey, 98.5% of the time? Like, you were really? Always rocking a soccer jersey, which is swag. And so, anyway, who's your team? Who's your soccer team?
My team is, they're in the third league. There's two teams in Munich. Everybody knows Bayern Munich, I'm assuming. And my team is the other Munich team. It's 1860 Munich. They're in the Bundesliga, like in the first league. Oh my God. It's almost like, I want to say 15 to 20 years ago, probably 20 years ago now. And they had some financial trouble, went down to the fourth league, went up to the third league now. And that's where they stuck. They were a couple years, like 8 or 9 years in the second league. And it's been a mess there, but once you're a fan, you're always a fan of that team. And so, yeah, the second Munich team, 1860 Munich, is my team.
1860. Well, Holzy, why don't you just buy them out? Why don't you just buy the club and get them back to the get them back to the top league? Like 1860, that's a big name. Like I had a bunch of soccer buddies growing up, and I swear my buddy Kobe is his name. He was always rocking an 1860 uniform. And so that's interesting. So they're demoted. So when my buddy was a fan, I'm assuming he's still a fan, 10, 15 years ago, were they not in the first league and crushing it?
10, 15 years ago, they were probably in the second league.
Interesting.
They got relegated there. Man, like in late 90s, early 2000s, they even went, they finished top four in the Bundesliga, the first league, and even went to the Champions League qualification, lost out to Leeds United back then. And after that, it was all downhill from there on. Like they had some internal trouble, like financial problems, and they moved into that Allianz Arena, but like the big Bayern Munich stadium.
And you just can't compete in together. With
yeah, Bayern, they, right? just, they just like kind of got a little bit over their head. And the fun part is, though, like if you look inside of Munich, the city of Munich is mostly 1860 Munich fans.
Wow.
It's crazy. Like even like they had a relegation game like for demotion to the third league, from the second to the third league. I want to say that's almost like 10 years ago, 12 years ago. They played from the second to the third league, played a team for demotion, and they had played in the Allianz Arena and had 65,000 fans there. So they have a lot, like a huge fan base, a lot of tradition. And they're the original Munich team starting, basically. Like, they won the championship one time before Bayern Munich even was a thing. And it's 1966 when they won it, but they're kind of like, they're the real Munich team. But like I said, once you're a fan of that team, obviously there's a lot of suffering going on. But they're called the Lions, and there's a saying, like, once you're a lion, you're always a lion. So gotta stick to that.
Suffering. That's quite the term, because it's suffering. People suffer. I mean, livelihoods are based around these soccer clubs. It's unbelievable. And at that game there, were you on a telephone pole, like swinging your shirt around, or were you one of the just crazed fans at these games that you see? I mean,
I actually couldn't go, because that game, I think, was in April, and I believe that I was still in North America playing in the playoffs. So I was trying to watch, and the crazy part about it is they were down in that game, and they needed a tie to stay in the league, because I think they won the game, like, this back-to-back, kind of like they play home and home.
Yeah,
they won the first game, so they needed a tie in the second game. They were down till the 94th minute, 1-0. So if they lose that game, they're done. And then they scored in the 94th minute to tie it and stay in the league. It was crazy. Like, watching that game on TV was insane. 65,000 people going nuts was special for a game that you actually would think is, not that big. Like a relegation game, second or third league, you'd think there's maybe 10,000 people there, but it was packed, and it felt like they won a championship.
That's unbelievable. Next question. Favorite memory as a Duck?
Oh, there's a few. I think the time I got traded there, we had a special group that year. You remember, and that playoff run, I didn't play, but it was just special coming into that room. And there's always, like, now when people ask me, obviously the trade, like, you get traded, it's always a crazy moment and it was my first trade ever getting traded. And I went to Anaheim, which at that moment was, I think we were first in the league, at least first in the Western Conference, but I think even first in the league. And I came to that team, and it was special. Like, you could feel right away that's a special group in the room. And I was 100% convinced that we're going to win the Stanley Cup at some moment in that, like, during that time, even if I didn't play a game. But just being part of that group and in the room after I got traded, I felt like after maybe a week or two, I felt like I've been there for 3 years, because that's how special the group was. Like, I was part of that immediately. And you remember, like, Murph was, like, basically changing out the whole decor at the trade deadline, being in first place. And, it was insane. Like, it was so much fun just being part of that group and going to the conference finals, and unfortunately losing out in game 7 against Chicago. But I was like, that was a lot of fun. And then we had another run a couple of years later where we went to the conference final. Same thing. I was convinced we were going to win the cup. Like, we were so close, and the group was so much fun being part of, just being in practice, like, competing with the guys, and then going on road trips. And I remember you scoring that sick goal in that Winnipeg series.
Oh, yeah.
Going like toe drag, and it was fun. And just my time in general there, like, in Anaheim was special for me. It was always, like, we always had a good team. It was always fun coming to the rink, and we always had a good group, I thought. And it's just unfortunate we couldn't get it done in the time we had that window. But just being part of that, I learned a lot. And then obviously my idol, like, growing up was Scotty Niedermeyer, and then get to work with him on a daily basis my first year when we were scratches, he would do the skates, he would be around, and that was special for me personally, for sure.
Legend Scotty. And yeah, just in our locker room, Timu, Saku, Getze, Worm, the list goes on and on. Cogs, it's just Ski. I mean, all the guys were just such.
Yeah.
Obviously we had Clayton Stoner on couple episodes back, and just what a guy he is as well. So yeah, the locker room was great, and I certainly miss those times. Last one, Holsey, what are your thoughts on this current Ducks team?
Yeah, I guess it's tough right now. Or the last few years, it's been tough. It seems like there's not really the progress that was hoped for, I think, to put it in the right way. I think they have a good group of guys, I know a couple of guys I played with when they came on the team or into the league, kind of. And there's a lot of skill in that team. I think it's just a matter of putting everything together and just staying the course, obviously, adding some pieces that can push them even further. And then obviously there has to be a time where guys step up to the plate and just take over, like the leadership that was there before, you know. And I think those are tough shoes to fill. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you have Getsy, like you name all those guys, you just did it. Like, you have Timo, you have Saku, you have like Getsy, Perry, Kessler, Bieksa, the guys like Stoner, like all those guys that had a big part, like Cogs, huge professionals, like great leadership. And these shoes are tough to fill. And I think till they figure it out, there might be a little more suffering, but I think they're on the right track. Like I said, a couple of pieces, the skill is there. I think it's just a matter of time till they break through. And they, like I said, guys need to step up and just fill those shoes as best as they can. I'm sure convinced that they're trying their hardest. Everybody's working hard to get the ship going the right track again. But obviously, I'm sure it's frustrating at the same time for everybody involved that the progress is not as far as they hoped for.
Rational. That's why I asked you, Holsey. That's why these fans are looking for your insight. And it's so great.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide.
Let's go third of the way through predictions, we'll call it. Didn't mean to do this to you. Didn't mean to throw you off like this, Holsey, but let's get right to it. And you're on your off day, right? That's what you mentioned. Yep. And you got things to do. You got things to do. So we're going to get you out of here after these 10 quick predictions, starting with the William M. Jennings Trophy. So let's get right to it. This is an annual award given to the goalkeepers having played a minimum of 25 games for the team with the fewest goals scored against. This one's selected based on, of course, regular season play. So Ducks are 29 games into the season. Who do you got for the William M. Jennings Trophy? Here roughly a little bit over a third of the way through here.
Well, there's a few teams that could actually win it. I got Minnesota, obviously having a great season so far. LA is doing well defensively. It seems like they're helping their goalies. Goaltending has been good there. Washington has been very strong from what I've seen. Winnipeg obviously had a great start to the season and still playing strong. Toronto is in the mix. Their goaltending has been really, really good, like unexpectedly good, I feel like, almost. But really good, really, really good with Stoley there and Wall, I think. These two guys have done a tremendous job. And Dallas is in that category, they're close. So I think these teams might make it in between themselves.
So you're picking the third of the freaking league?
Okay. All right. If you want me to pick
one. Sheesh.
Okay, I'll go. You know what? Because I played there, I'll go with Toronto.
I'm picking Toronto too. Yeah. What do you call them? Stoley?
Yep. Stollard.
Yeah. Anthony Stollers. He's been dynamite, and Wohl has too. I got the Leafs. Okay. Rocky Richard Trophy. Leading goal scorer. Go.
I'll go with my boy from Germany, Leon Draisaitl, again. Jeez. I know he's up there. He already has 22, I saw.
Yep.
And I think he has the same amount of goals as Kaprizov. But Yeah, he's off to a good start so far. So I'm cheering for the German boy.
I got Braden Point, and look, he's ripping it up. 20 goals in 24 games. Just looking at that list, it's only so many of those guys are like popping off for like multiple goal games. You know what I mean? And then just Kaprizov just gets back to back 2-goal games. But I Braden Point, just be I don't know. I just feel like maybe his year. I don't know why I'm going, but he's scoring at an incredible rate.
He's really
your boy there. He's I mean, Leon, he's easily could be the guy as well. Coach, best coach so far, Jack Adams Award. Who do you got? Who's a well-coached team right now in your mind?
I think Mini is like with John Hines there. I had him in Nashville. He's done a good job there when I was there. Very structured, very on the point, very straightforward. Well-coached team, and they seem going. I also got New Jersey with Sheldon Keefe, who seemed to turn that around since they missed the playoffs last year, working with a young group, very talented guys, and it seems like it's coming along well there. So these are two of my candidates.
Once again, Holsey going multiple choice answers, given a third of the damn teams. I'm going Craig Berube, Toronto. Totally different defensive team. What they're doing defensively, they've totally turned it around. And the crazy thing is their offensive numbers aren't even that spectacular. So they're tied for fifth in the National Hockey League with 2.61 goals against per game. Really good. And that's your game, Holsey. Hey, just boxing out and getting those guys out of outside of the blue paint. You know how it is. Hey, we got a solid, with Holsey's answers, 10, 11 answers there. But no, we got a solid couple answers there. I think, let's put it this way. All three of those choices would be a solid top three nominees, right? I think we can make that argument.
I didn't know I had to pick just one. I thought I can give more options.
You missed
mine, you know, and I can pick one.
No, you missed the boat on the assignment, but whatever. Lady Bing, this is the player that, look at this, were adjudged to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. Go. Who's your pick for that one?
I might have to go Anze Kopitar.
Wow. You know what? He's not my choice, but it's like you got to. He's probably most deserving just given his age and what he's doing, right?
Yeah. I think, yeah, he's a big part of that group there and the way they're performing. So, and he's still performing at a high level at that age. So I think he's up there. I got three choices again, but I'm going to stick to one now. So
let's go. Multiple choice Holsey. Come on. Let's do it.
I also got Cale Makar, obviously. Like, I think, first of all, unbelievable player. And secondly, he was very fitting for that trophy, I feel like, for the description and everything. He just plays the right way. He's very, yeah, sportsmanship, gentlemanly conduct. Like, it seems like he's a good dude on and off the ice. And then I got also Matt Zuccarello playing a big part in on a mini team. So, yeah.
Kopi's like the best answer and the worst answer, right? Because he's probably most deserving, but he's on the Kings, right, Holsey?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's tough too.
Definitely not our friends, but hey, that's a good selection there. I got Nikita Kucherov. He's only got 2 PIMs on the season. That's why. So he's got that kind of production with 2 PIMs. I don't know. Maybe he finishes the season with 10 PIMs. Be ridiculous. But long story short, third of the way through, roughly, I got Cooch for that one. Okay. Selke, the Frank J. Selke trophy. It's the forward who best excels in the defensive aspects of the game. Who's your choice a third of the way through here?
That's honestly a tough one. I have either Austin Matthews, who's come a long way, I feel like, defensively, like really, really playing a well-rounded game. And still producing offensively, And I got Kopi again on that one. I just think he's really, really solid defensively. And he's playing the right way. He's kind of like that old school type of center who plays both rings, but he plays the right way, always on top of the puck, really good defensively and just reading plays well defensively and still not losing much of his offense. So, yeah.
You're going to get hate mail after this one for choosing a Kings player twice.
I got to respect that, you know.
Good stuff. I got Kaprizov. Look, his plus minus is great. Plus 23. How about that? And Heinze, as you mentioned earlier, he's got those guys buzzing defensively. So, look, it's plus minus, big part of the convo there. He's plus 23, just popped off for back-to-back two-goal games. He's cooking, and that plus minus is going to just continue to go out. Maybe he finishes plus 40, 45, I don't know, something like that. And then how about your boy Drysdale? He's just – Kopitar's there too. He is, but I don't know. All these picks are right there in the running. Okay, moving on. Art Ross, it's the leader in points in the National Hockey League at the end of the regular season. Who do you got with that one? Who's leading the charts?
Right now the leader is McKinnon, right? So you would think he might be up there, but you can't count out McDavid. I feel like he's sneaking up there again. And Kaprizov obviously is a good choice. You just named a couple of reasons why, but I think I'll go with McDavid. I think he's gonna explode down the road here.
Wow, that's a good you can't go wrong with that one. You can't.
Yeah.
And I could so see it. I could so see it. Because then, you know, once he just starts plowing in the goal, he's him and Drysdale. It's just down the stretch. That's a good selection there. Would have figured maybe your boy Leon there, but I like that choice. It's a safe bet and it makes sense. I'm going Cooch. Just what he's been able to do in fewer games right now. I mean, he's 20 power play points in the 26 games. They're flowing. They're flowing right now, Tampa. How about the Norris, the James Norris? It's the D man who demonstrates the best all around ability for the D position. Who do you got with that one?
I'm a big fan, Cale Makar. I just like his game. He's so smooth on the ice, playing both sides, obviously, with the skating ability he has. And Quinn Hughes, obviously, is a good choice. I just would pick Makar a little more just because I feel like he's a little more well-rounded on both sides. But it's a tough one. It's a tight choice for sure.
I got pretty much the same answer as you. I'm just backing off you for that one, Holsey. Yeah, I got the same exact answer. Good stuff. What about Vezina? It's the best, best goaltender. I'm going to stop playing around here with this with these calls. It's best goalie. Who do you got?
So far, I'd say Connor Hellebuck from Winnipeg. Unreal season so far. Obviously, the team is buzzing there and playing unreal. If I had to pick right now, I think he'd be my choice.
I'm going same. He has the second most shots against with 718. So he's getting peppered weirdly, and he's tied for the league lead in shutouts too, and he's already won it. So who picks this one? The general managers pick this one. So they already got their guy one time. So it makes sense that they would. They like their goalies, right? They've already selected them once, so I don't know. It worked last time, so yeah. No, I think that's a safe bet. It makes sense, and I'm doing the same. All lights out numbers, and moving on. Calder, top rookie.
I got Felix Mitchkov, the Russian kid. I think he's fun to watch. Other than that dive he had last game or like a couple of games ago. But I think Torts is doing a good job there, like getting him to play the right way, but still not taking away from his creativity. And he's leading the league, like the rookies in scoring so far by a good amount. Obviously, Celebrini with the Sharks has done good. But I think Mitchkov is like, I kind of like his personality, like getting kicked out of a game, signing autographs on the way out in the tunnel and everything. I think it's good for the game. And yeah, these Russians are fun to watch sometimes. And I think he would be deserving if he keeps it up the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than some of the other you know, players that are going to be nominated, right? And sometimes that age plays a part, but here it's not when it's the, he keeps on that separation in points, right? The next two guys with 20 points apiece are Celebrini and Hudson. And the Hudson, I mean, to be a D with that many points there, but his plus minus is minus.
Point, yeah.
His plus minus is minus 14 on the season, a third of the way through.
It's tough though. Like you know, the plus minus sometimes, like, the Canadians are struggling, so it's...
And he's always at the... He's literally a forward in the offensive zone. Like, I never actually see him at the blue one. Last one. That was quick. Hart Memorial Trophy. Most valuable to his team.
I think that's Kaprizov.
Wow.
You mentioned all the details, why. And he seems to play the right way. He seems to put the puck in the net. Kind of carrying that team a little bit on both sides and making the difference and pulling that team up in the standing so far. I think he's a good choice. Obviously Kucherov is there, McKinnon, but I think Kaprizov earns it right now just by the way the team is performing, and obviously with his performance, like personally, I think he's a good choice.
You got a better answer than I do. Now that you explained it, it just makes sense. I mean, I got McKinnon just because, you know, Rantanen and these guys, I think obviously they're going to be great players without him. But I don't know. You just had a better answer than I did. So I like the Kaprizov choice better. I went McKinnon, but what can you do? What's done is done. Look, that rounds out the 10 predictions. For the winners, where we stand right now, a third of the way through. Holsey, last thing. We got in a tilt. Hockeyfights.com has you in the lead, I think, 51%. I think I'm 49 or something like that. Do you agree with those results?
Obviously, if I'm up, I'm always agreeing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think the viewers missed something. They saw something that I didn't, so. It is what it is.
Maybe I just pushed you one more time. Honestly, I didn't want to punch you anyways because I like you too much.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, maybe we have like a boxing match, like a charity boxing match in Germany or something.
Yeah,
we'll go round two.
Yeah, sounds good. Maybe you can have a pre-fight next Jake Paul thing.
Yeah, we'll be the first car. We'll be in the parking lot. We'll Holsey. Hey, miss ya. Thanks for hopping on. And we got to do this again. This was too much fun.
For sure, buddy.
Okay.
Well, say hi to everyone. Thanks for having me. Miss you guys too. All the best. Greetings. Happy holidays, obviously.
Happy holidays. And go out and buy go out and buy yourself an ugly sweater. Come on, Holsey. Add that to the repertoire.
I have one at home, but you know, but it's not that big here. You know, in Europe, we don't really do it as much as you guys do. So I kind of have them somewhere in the draw because they're that ugly. So I don't really want to see them that much. So
you just want to wear your soccer jersey. You just want to wear your 1860 jersey all around.
It's with the way they're performing. It's ugly enough. Yeah.
All right. Hey, happy holidays.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Take care.
Holsey. Wow. Missed that guy. And what a call that was. So it was good catching up with him. And Holsey, thanks again for joining Eat 'em Up. Let's get to the next four games for the Anaheim Ducks and lights out teams that the good guys are playing, and let's get right to it. So a little team preview, and we're going to rip right through it just like we did with Holsey and those 10 third of the way season awards. That was fun. Let's get right to it. Okay, Winnipeg is coming into town. at 22-9-1. Here's the weird thing. Last 10 for them, 4-5-1. So that is very interesting. A little bit of dip in play, being under 500 last 10. But let's make no mistake, they are third in goals per game. They are the power play percentage, 30.3. I mean, when you got Connor ripping around with Ehlers and you got Lowry in the blue paint right in the net front, they can really do it all. Morrissey's out there just shifty as ever at the blue. And look, so their power play percentage, they're first in the national shooting percentage, third, 12.7. This is just a lights out team. So dip and play here this last 10. Hopefully the Ducks can take advantage of it. Defensively, not spectacular. Bottom half of the team in some of these stats. So look, it just, you got to bring your A game. That's no doubt, 100%. And that's the first of the four. Then you got Colorado. So their last 10, 6-4-0. They're also on a one-game win streak along with the Winnipeg Jets. So they come into Honda Center. I mean, they're lights out, to eighth in the national in goals, power play percentage ninth, and shooting percentage 11.3. So they can rip the puck in. Once again, if anything, the Ducks just need to take advantage of some of their defensive stats. And that just means shoot everything on net and make sure you have not just one body in front of the attendees. You got two, three, just getting the rebounds, getting the inboard banks and trying to just hold the offensive possession. Because I tell you what, when we were in Colorado there at Ball Arena, it was a tough night. And it's just the rate in which Colorado makes plays, it's just at times it's almost unfair. So the Anaheim Ducks had a good start earlier there in that game, right? They got up and just weren't able to sustain it. And it's tough. So how about Utah? 6-2-2 in their last 10. And that place is just rocking. You see those videos on Instagram. They're on a two-game heater right now. 14-11-5 is their record. And they just keep getting better and better. They just do. So they have Kells. They have, look, they have a lot of talent. They just do. And they have depth scoring. And Vejmelka, the attendee there, he's playing really well. He's playing really well. So they're lights out. They got a ton of Schmaltz. You know, Schmaltz is just, he's an underrated player. He just not talked about enough. And him and Kelsey just, they always do damage. They always do damage. And then last but not least, you got the Vegas Golden Knights. How about that? 7-2-1 in their last 10. Oh, they just got so much talent with Eichel. And how about their back end with Hanifin and Theodore? And I tell you what, that White Cloud, he can blow guys up. And you got McDabb, who is just so steady, right? Just going back to his LA Kings day, he's just a steady D. Look at their numbers. Goals per game, 3.45. That's fifth in the National Hockey League. And they are, but check this out, they're top 10 in these stats that I'm listing off here. Shots on goal, 30.3 per game. That's eighth. Power play percentage, 27.6. That's fourth. Shooting percentage, that's 11.4. Fifth. Faceoff percentage, tied for eighth at 52.3. Unbelievable. Umbo. Penalty minutes. Discipline. And that's a scary part, because you have the discipline aspect and then you got the good power play. So they stay out of the box and then they make you pay on the power play. Scary stuff. Really scary stuff. Cam Fowler. This episode goes out to you. We got drafted, same draft, same day, first round. It was fun, and it was unfortunate that we didn't see you hit the 1,000 game mark here in a Ducks jersey, but you know what? It's things played out as they played out, and I just think both parties are obviously happy for one another, and that's the best part, right? That is just the best part. Cam gets a new opportunity in St. Louis, and the Anaheim Ducks, look, the young guys are stepping up. There's more room. Big shoes to fill with Cam being out, right? And the young guys are ready to go. So, Cam, thank you for all you've done, both on and off the ice, for the Anaheim Ducks organization. You are awesome in the community. You did a ton for kids. You did a ton everywhere outside of the rink. And on the ice, I love the inside out, outside in, taking the puck up, just being the guy that's just wheeling and dealing. And it was a ton of fun to watch. So it was fun being your teammate. And this episode goes out to you. What a duck, Cam Fowler. Eat him up. We're signing off. Peace.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.